It is good to be here this morning with you, look on your faces, and to share the Word of God this morning. I maybe should have looked at the lesson a bit more. If I would, I'd probably give you a sermon out of Ezekiel. If you want a good exercise, read Ezekiel in these Sunday school lessons, especially about the Jews. I just thought of one this morning, a little verse here in Ezekiel 5. Actually, it's about four, but it's half a chapter, but I ain't going to read all that. And thou, son of man, take thee a sharp knife, take thee a barber's razor, and cause it to pass upon thine head and upon thy beard. Then take thee balances to weigh and divide the hair. Thou shalt burn with fire a third part in the midst of the city, when the days of siege are fulfilled. And thou shalt take a third part and smite it with a knife. Thou shalt take a third part, thou shalt scatter in the wind, and I will draw out a sword after them. Then thou shalt take a few in number and bind them in thy skirts. Then take of them again and cast of them into the midst of the fire to burn, and therefore shall a fire come out of Israel. And it goes on, there's a few, just a small remnant of Jewish people that would say. But that's what Ezekiel goes through. All through Ezekiel, you'll read stories. You read about how the Lord in spirit took him up by the hair and took him back to Jerusalem and showed him what was going in the temple there. The worship of gods, all the crazy creatures that these men would worship. He's seen them looking toward the sun and worshiping the sun. And he had... The women were baking cakes with the tamaz and all kinds of idol worship. And God said he can't do that. He can't handle that. And Ezekiel finally saw where the Spirit of God that he saw there at the River of Chebar, and it left the sanctuary and come out to the threshold. And then it left the threshold and went up on the city wall. And from the city wall went up the mountain. And from there it went. And it's a sad day when the Spirit of God leaves his people. People come to them again. You can turn with me to Psalm 90 this morning. I appreciate the service so far and the devotions this morning and some of the songs. And I'd like just to share the message with you this morning. It's very practical. And it's reality, Psalm 90. I'd like to read it this time, then we'll come back and look at it. O Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth, and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down, and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For our days are passed away in thy wrath, and we spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is our strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fears, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto the children, thy children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. This is a psalm of Moses. probably the first published piece of scriptures that we have. Moses also wrote the first five books of the Bible, but I don't think it was in the hands of the people yet, but this I think was on him. Moses written some other songs that they sang, the children of Israel. And I'd like to look at the first two verses. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were formed, ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. In verse 1 of 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadows of the Almighty. Now, we just had a lesson on the sovereignty of God just a few weeks ago. Shofar in Job says, can a man by searching find out God? No. You know, our minds are so finite. We can't even think hardly back a past maybe 500 years if we go that far. But when God spans eternity from a vanishing point to a vanishing point, we finally come to the point where our minds bog down. And if we think that pattern too long, you'll be like the agnostics. And that's what they've been doing for years and years and years, trying to understand God. And there's no way they can do it. It is completely out of their grasp. God is so great this morning. He is sovereign. And there are not enough adjectives. I'm not even sure if there's any adjectives in the English language that really can describe God. We can say he's tremendous. And God is. He's great. He's all-powerful. He's mighty. He is also a tender God. He pitieth people just like fathers and mothers pity their children. And he don't want any of them to perish. He is timeless. What's timeless? There is a term that we use, and I've seen it quite frequently. People send me pictures on my phone of a sunrise or a sunset, and they say we serve an awesome God. I have a pic with that this morning. Have you ever read in the scriptures where God stands in awe of something? Awesome does not relate to God. It relates to us. Turn to Psalm 73. I can give you an example of this. This is a man, Asaph, who was troubled. He was burdened. And he was doing something that maybe we do sometimes. But he's writing it after the fact, and he says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as be of a clean heart. And then he goes on and tells the experience that he had, and he was watching the wicked, and he's seen there was no bonds in their death. They had prospered. Their eyes were with fatness. They had all they could wish. They were corrupt, speak evilly. They set their mouth against heaven. A full cup was wrung out to them. They just have it all. And that's the way he was feeling. And he was very, very dejected in his life. And he said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. You know, that has a lot to do with awesome in our experience. In fact, one definition, it looked like he even had pain in the definition of all or awesome. Then he says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood therein. You know, he had an experience here of he was actually trying to compare God with ungodly men. And he was trying to compare his own life, his struggles and his conflicts, and whatever he might have had with men that were not bothered with that. Men that just lived their life the way they want to. They did what they wanted to. They bought what they wanted to. They sold what they wanted. They just did everything. And this man couldn't do that, all that. And he was very envious. But you know, when he finally went in the temple, there he was struck with awe. And he realized what he was and what they were. Brother Leslie referred to Elijah this morning. And a still small voice. But there was a thunder. The mountains were broken up. The fire came and the wind. And when God spoke, he covered his face. He was standing in awe of a mighty God. Great men have always felt that way. Daniel, he fell on his face before that being. And he said, there was no strength. My strength returned to corruption. He couldn't. He couldn't even do anything. He was just totally helpless. Until the man touched him and took him and set him on his hands and knees. And then he got up. He strengthened him. And he could look into the face of that powerful being. You know, that's the way Ezekiel was that way. At the river of Chebar, he seen the glory of God. And like that, he fell on his face. They were struck with awe at the greatness and the power and the glory of God. Isaiah looked into the holies and said, I am an unclean man. Woe am I. For an unclean man, I have unclean lips, and I dwell amidst the people unclean lips. And he was just totally out of it. You know, that's where we need to come. We need to realize that God is, there's no way we can comprehend what he is. He has told us a lot about himself. But John says even the books could not contain what Jesus did if they've written all of them. And how much is God, eternity won't reveal to us everything that God is. That's just how great he is. But God wants us to fall on our knees and be in awe of a great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to have that right perspective of God. And the beggar at the beautiful gate. We just talked about sometime or other, or somebody preached about it, that the man was there, all he was looking for was another shekel, or maybe two mites. He would take anything you would get him. He was there, they carried him there, and he begged day after day after day, and I think he might have been 40 years old by this time. But Peter offered him something more, and he got it, and then he didn't walk in it, though. He walked and leaped. And praise God. I don't think he could be quiet. He just was so joyous that I'm walking. And he could even jump and leap. Verse 3 and 4. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years are in that sight, but as yesterday when it is past and gone, as a watch in the night. Turn to Isaiah 54. Verse 7 and 8. This is our great God, and he's talking about Israel, the blessing of his servant. Verse 7, for a small moment I have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. Verse 8, in a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. You see, that's from God's perspective. In other words, Israel thought 70 years in captivity was really bad, but they've been out of the city, and they've been scattered all over the world because God said that's what he was going to do. He's going to scatter them like a chaff, and you'll find them in all parts of the world. But God said that's just for a little moment. His wrath is for a moment, and he forsook them, but his mercy is great. God has sympathy for his people. Because we don't understand. There are a couple things that we face and that are always before us. The one person is the tyranny of the tomb. You know, the tomb, we all face that. The tomb is a tyrant. We're headed for it. The Lord don't come, we're going to get there. Some before others. But we never know why, when, or how. That's the way it is. The tomb is there before us and we face it. And I don't know, I've heard it said that it's a scary place. In other words, to just give up life on this earth. And we need faith. We need faith to believe God in what he says, that he will meet us and he'll take with us. And the tyranny of time. Your life is fleeting, very brief. 70 years. And if you're not there, you're probably halfway there anyhow. But we never know what time it may be when we face the tomb. God takes people out of the womb, children. He takes them in their first year, second year, or whatever. He takes youth, young people. There's just no guarantee that we have tomorrow that we will face it. Death can come in a minute. Then the severity of God in 5 and 6. Thou carriest them away as with a flood, and as they sleep in the morning, they are grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth, and groweth up, and the evening it is cut down. You know, there is some severity to God, but it's always with the purpose of bringing them back. That's what he said. Now, they carriest them away. Destruction. And he calls them back. The severity of God in judgment. When they raised a calf at Mount Sinai, from that experience, 3,000 men died. But they didn't all die. Exodus 32, when they begged and want some meat to eat, God sent them quails. And it talks about them lusting. I think they gathered, I don't know what the amount they gathered, but they gathered them for a couple of days. And you know, can you imagine what it'd be like to pluck the feathers off of a couple of hundred quails? I mean, you would spend more energy plucking and cleaning and cooking than what you'd get out of the quail. They can't weigh more than a few ounces, 6 at the most. Their thigh would be like a finger. You wouldn't get much nourishment out of that. But these people they had lusted so bad that they ate this. And God says, while it was still in their mouth, he sent a great plague and wiped more people out. Because they didn't have faith. God's severity is severe. Cordathan and Abiram, 14,700 people lost their lives. Just in all those accounts, you can see the wrath of God. The wrath of God. He hated what he'd seen. He hated what they were doing. And his wrath come out and destroyed probably the people that really needed it. God's judgment in the wilderness, the children of Israel refused to go into the promised land. You know, 40 years they wandered in that desert, and all they had to look for was a tomb. That's all they had. They probably had burial services every day. I don't know how many people might have been. They come out 600,000 strong men. And if you would have lost 100,000 the first few years, you got the promised land. That's still 500,000 men you got to bury in the next 40 years. But that's all they had to look to. They went to the promised land. They had no faith to believe God, and God turned them back. And then he said, we'll go up anyhow. But they didn't make it. And they went into the desert. And every day they died. Verse 7 and 8. For we are consumed by thy wrath, and by thy anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, and our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. You know, the one problem with humanity is that we are so sinful. We are so sinful. And I know that 1 John 1 says that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. That's a continual action. But how many times did the Lord speak to you during a day when you did something? You may have just been talking to yourself and scotching somebody else for something. Nobody knew it but you. And then, you know, I do the same thing. You know, if we're walking in the Spirit, we need to be mindful of the Spirit. And I know, no, I do it, but when I see people driving crazy on the highway, I have to wonder, do I do the same thing? Yeah, sometimes I do. But our lives are just sinful. We're just prone to wonder. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. You know, there's a continual action that we must have in our hearts, in our lives, in this day. We will never be free from it till the day we die. We are in the old man, and the flesh wants to rule. And pleasures, you name it. You can pick your own things that you have in your own heart. 9 and 10, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as the tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10, by reason of strength. They be 80 years, yet of strength, labor, and sorrow. For it is soon cut off and we fly away. Your life is short. What 70 years in the span of eternity? You know, we don't have much time here. It wasn't too long ago that I was just a teenager. A young married man. But today I stand before you just 2 years past 80 years and 10. And the Lord has given me strength of labor and sorrow for 2 more years, and maybe even give me more. I don't know, but it's short. It's very short. And we think we have all time. All the time we can do whatever we want to, and we'll finally get right with God in the end. No, it won't happen that way. We must do it now. We must understand the shortness of time and how short it really is. 11 and 12, who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days that we apply our hearts unto wisdom. Life is serious. Life is serious. We're not only sinful. It's not only short, but it is sin is serious. You know, now is the day of salvation. Now is the day. People have postponed it for years and thought they'd get right with God on their own time. But that's not the case. We need to get right in God's time. God is the one that calls us in mercy. God cares for us, and life is serious. It is not a row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, merrily, what's resting in life is but a dream. You know, that's not life. If you're not in a warfare this morning, then you may be in the boat. You know, life is getting in the boat and paddling upstream, laboring, keeping that boat going, paddling with both paddles, pressing onward, and you got to go ahead. It's not just floating along. It's work. It's serious business. And God wants us to understand that. And we must understand it. Who knows? We do not know the power of his anger. And his wrath is severe. So teach us to number our days and we apply our hearts unto wisdom. What is a wise thing to do? It's to go right with God today and make sure your things are set up. Verse 13. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. God is a moving God. He is calling people. It says, he cuts them off, he sends them off, and then he calls them to return. You know, that's the way God did in the experience of Israel. All through their history, even up to the time of Christ. Christ was still, he had cut them off, but he was calling them back to him. And he does that today. He punishes people. And he calls them back. James 4:13 says that he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Asaph said, I was a fool. It was foolish for me to compare myself to the wicked men. And I was a fool. You know, it's a fool that knows what he should do today and don't do it. You know, if you know you need to do something, just now's the time to do it. Now's the time to do it. But God always moves that. He'll bring affliction to your heart, into your life, to draw you back. God is continually calling, and calling and calling. 14 and 15. Oh, satisfy early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days when thou hast afflicted us and the years when we have seen evil. God's merciful. And that's all it takes for us to respond to God's mercy. And he will hear us. All the publican did was smote upon his breast. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he went down to his house justified. He went down to his house justified. God's mercy is everlasting. His mercy endureth forever. We will always rejoice and praise God for his mercy. We'll always have a song to sing about that. The might of God is verse 16. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. You know, he wants children. And the psalm of Moses is saying, let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto show us thyself. And he will. You know, every time you pick up the Bible, you can see something about God in that. Always. It's all about God and his work with men. And we see the powerful work that God has done in the hearts of people. And we see the work that men have done and not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ or God. They turned away from God. Let thy glory appear unto thy children. Verse 17, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. He's pleading, just show us thy majesty. We need a fresh look at God Almighty and what he is. Brightly beams our Father's mercy from his lighthouse evermore. God is beaming mercy to us continually and ever. He says, establish the work of our hands. Yea, establish thou it. Our work is great. And God helps us in it. The verse Zechariah came to me, not by might nor power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. You know, there's nothing to get done in the world in Christian people except by the movement of God's spirit in our heart and lives. That's the energizing force of God Almighty. It is the spirit of the living God. May the Lord help us to take life seriously as it is and prepare our hearts to serve him forever. And if we don't know the Lord, it's time to know him. It's time to get acquainted with him, because the world is becoming more wicked and more wicked every day. And the devil is not giving up. We talk about our time being short. Well, the devil knows his time is short too. It says that in Revelation. He has come down to the earth with great wrath because he knows that his time is short. Let's wake up and put our hearts into the service of our King. And then we can serve him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Never, never. Always. Let us pray.